Hey, everybody, this is Jesse from Northgate Community Church, and I'm joined today with my good friend, Bill Ludwig.
Yay! Hey, everybody.
Now, Bill, why don't you take a couple minutes and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Bill Ludwig, born and raised in Ohio. I currently reside in a town called Ashland, Ohio, which is about in the middle of the state, kind of on the northern side of the middle of the state. And I live here with my wife and my two children, and we are the pastoral family at a little church called Five Stones Community Church that meets on the campus of Ashland University. So we have this this crazy good life where I'm a chicken farmer in my spare time and a carpenter and all that kind of stuff, but also get to interact with a ton of people who are on this journey of trying to figure out who they are and what to do with their lives. College students, sometimes their parents, faculty, administration, and then folks from the town. And it's pretty fun to be me. And previously, I've traveled all over the place and helped people start new churches, start ministries in various places around the United States, but also in other parts of the world. And I'm super stoked to be here today to talk about this topic because I think it's an important one and often one that doesn't get talked about enough when it comes to our mission and ministry to all of creation.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, for even a little bit more background, I blame Bill for all my pastoral experience. So no, I'm just joking. Bill's, again, for all those folks out there, Bill's pivotal in why she and I are in the places that we're at. So Bill, I just want to thank you so much for joining us this morning. I think it's going to be a pretty awesome conversation.
Yeah, I can't wait.
We're going to kick things off. We've been talking about We've been in this series called Won't You Be My Neighbor, and we've been looking at what does it look like to neighbor literally next door, the people that live next door to us. What does it look like to have a city mindset about neighboring? What does the flourishing of our cities look like? And we can't think about, we can't have this conversation without going abroad. Now, a quick disclaimer, I've never been on any missions trip ever, and that is really sad. Like, I've talked to pastors here and there, and they're like, "You didn't even go on the Mexico trips?" And I'm like, "Yeah, man, I'm like half Mexican and I haven't even been to Mexico yet." So full disclosure, I have zero experience in this. And that's why I thought of you, my friend, because you've been away, you've been to some places and has some stories. And so again, I think this would be super duper awesome. Just real quickly here, what is some of your international missions work? Where have you gone? Where are some of the things you've seen and been to?
Yeah, sure. So during probably a stretch between about 2005 to 2017, I was a traveling man and was a part of starting some nonprofit organizations, both here and in other countries that served missionaries and mission work. Traveled extensively in South America, Mexico, Jesse, Canada, of course, but then I've also spent time in Africa and in India. So a couple countries here and there on that side of the planet and experienced some things there. And so some of the stuff that I've been involved in is, of course, helping people start new churches and training pastors in the churches that they're already in. We've worked to build clinics, HIV/AIDS clinics, created, like I said before, a nonprofit in Kenya, for example, that helped limit the effects and the spread of HIV/AIDS, and kind of stumbled into a cool way of empowering people over there to actually sort of reverse a lot of the cultural things that were under kind of lying the conditions that allowed HIV/AIDS to spread like crazy and really just sort of decimate the country. A whole generation of people lost. And so hospitals, clinics, schools, orphanages, really spent a lot of time doing those kinds of things. And then also on behalf of our denominational family, assessing mission points, going to connect with the folks there, see what they're doing, bring back stories and pictures, and really just sort of continue to deepen those relationships. So really, I've had quite a smattering of opportunities around the world and around here in the U.S.
That's awesome. So you've been to so many different places. You just literally probably named off 20 places now that I'm looking at that. What are the one or two stories where God seemed to show up kind of in like a real crazy way?
Yeah, there's a few. It kind of almost always seems like when I go somewhere, God does something crazy. Yeah. There was a trip. We were in Kenya. We were in a really rural area and woke up in the morning, went to breakfast in this like Bible translator compound, walled compound and all this stuff. And went through the breakfast line, grabbed a couple of like super fresh, still hot, hard boiled eggs, like in the shell and everything. And I took a couple, I took some fruit, all that kind of stuff. Ate our breakfast and I didn't eat one of the eggs. And I just like, oh, I'm going to take this with me. So I wrapped it up in a couple of napkins and took it with me into the van that we were driving around in. And that day we were heading to a school that was, it was a Muslim school, like a primary school. So think elementary aged kids. We went to visit there and we're talking to the headmaster, sort of like the principal of the school. She's relating to us some of the struggles that the students have in their personal lives. And really hunger is a big deal in this part of Kenya. And she brings in this little boy who obviously was malnourished and he was pretty hungry. And we were talking about how difficult it was for him to learn because he was malnourished. And we were trying to find ways that we could come alongside of the school. And when I say we, I mean help our Kenyan ministry partners to do that and kind of expand their outreach in the area. And they were talking about how hungry this kid was. And all of a sudden, I remembered this hard-boiled egg that, like, I had taken from the buffet like 3 hours before, right? And I'm like, oh, we can – I feel like I should go get him this egg. And so I excused myself and – had to go, you know, kind of some security and stuff to get back out to our van. And I pick up this egg off the van seat and dude, it is still piping hot 3 hours later. And I'm like, there is no physical way that this egg should still feel like it just came out of the boiling water. And I remember my walk back to the room where we were meeting thinking there's like no way, like there was air conditioning in the van. Like, this should be chilled off and it's still piping hot. And the only explanation I could think of is that not like that God kept the egg hot so that this dude, this little guy could have a hot breakfast for like the first time in like forever. Right. And so I bring this egg in and I tell the team that was in there and everyone just was kind of amazed. Right. So we hand this kid the egg and like he peels it and he eats it and a big smile on his face. But the coolest thing that happened was the headmaster, again, a Muslim school, says, this is a miracle, right? This is a miracle. Your God loves this little boy so much that he gave him a hot breakfast. Ooh. And I was just like, boom, like that was super rad, right? Like yeah. Totally cool. I probably cried for like, you know, a couple hours as we, you know, drove to the next place we were going that day. So that's a really memorable one. And there's one other where I was in Argentina and it was shortly after Hurricane Katrina had hit here in the States. And yeah. I had spent a lot of time down there immediately after. And then for a period of a few years, actually running trips back and forth. And this was probably about a year after. And I'm in Argentina in this, you know, new place. I've never been there before. And somehow in my conversations with some of the leaders there, they found out that I'd been super involved in mission work in my own country, right, to the Gulf Coast. Uh-huh. And they wanted to hear the story. So I'm telling them the stories, and they're like, they can't even believe what I'm telling them. Yeah. Because there, like in many other countries around the world, people think about Americans as totally secure. Everyone's wealthy. We all live like princes and princesses, right? Like nothing can touch us and we're all good. Like that's actually the narrative in other parts of the world, what they believe about us. Mm. And so I'm telling them that, man, there's people struggling. They're fighting for food and water and like violence. People are trying to survive. And they're amazed about this. And they're like, you've got to tell other people about this.
Yeah.
So I preached like in 14 towns in like 10 days, right? And they, oh, you got to tell that story. You got to tell that story. So in one town, they rented out the town hall, like this huge open room.
Okay.
Like a gymnasium, like several hundred people in this space, right? And they like get up and tell the story. And so I'm doing some in Spanish, and I had a translator with me. And so I'm telling the story, and I just, and you know, talking about all the destruction and how these people, no matter how wealthy they are, it couldn't save them from the destruction, right? And I'm spinning this story, and I'm telling this story, and then I say, and it like really proves the point that nothing is secure except for the love of Christ. And I just like bam, just laid the gospel on him just like spontaneously, right? Like wasn't supposed to happen, wasn't even allowed to happen, honestly, in the space that we were at the time. And like hundreds of people, I'm telling you, hundreds of people, I give an altar call. I never give altar calls. I give an altar call, and these people stand up like by the hundreds and come towards the stage to be prayed over. We're like one hand on each people, two at a time, just praying over people. And like hundreds of people in this town come to know Jesus. And like, not because I'm this fantastic preacher. I mean, it's half through me, half through the translator. So God was definitely moving.
Right.
And like, 4 or 5 days later, I found out that the whole thing had been broadcast live over the entire country through the radio.
Oh, shoot.
Like, oh my gosh, that just happened. Had I known that, I would have been so freaked out, I probably wouldn't be able to talk.
Oh, right? Yeah, no, absolutely.
So we have this amazing moment where God brings a miracle, a real miracle, like a small thing, a hot egg, but a miracle to prove his love, not just to this boy, but to the headmaster of the school. And then this just like outpouring of God's spirit in this room of people who just came to hear about really kind of like the destruction in America. And they ended up like hearing the good news and responding to it in a way that, honestly, to this day, it's almost like a fairy tale dream to me when I think about that memory and what happened there.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. I think I've heard that story once or twice before, and it's always good. Always good, Bill. So we talked about some really awesome things about international missions and all those kinds of things. What are some things to avoid, whether by with action or ways of thinking, when it comes to international mission work?
Well, you know, I think one of the key scriptures that we need to kind of grab a hold of here when we're thinking about what we do and how we do it is this this text in the book of Acts in the first chapter. You know, we've heard this before, you know, and my power will come upon you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and like all the way to the ends of the earth, right? And so the whole idea of being a neighbor, of being a witness, is just that, is being able to proclaim the good news, that the love of God, the benefits of being in his kingdom, right, to everyone, like in our hometown, near, and then far, like all the way out there is to the ends of the earth. And so the key in this is remembering that you are a witness of God's love. You're a witness of his mercy, of his grace, and that's what you're carrying with you no matter where it is you're doing it. And so one of the things I've learned the hard way is that oftentimes we will approach people, whether it's our next door neighbor or somebody across the planet, we'll approach somebody in a way that we want to approach them, that we're prepared to approach them. And we approach them and we love them. We're trying to be loving, but oftentimes we can love people, especially in other cultures, we can love them in ways that don't feel like love. Right? We can love them in ways that actually might hurt them or push them away. And I've seen that so many times. And so kind of a rule of thumb is, one, you're a witness of God, for God. You're a witness of what you've seen, what you've experienced. That's the thing that you carry with you no matter where it is that you're going. So one thing to avoid is going to take something for yourself. Like you'll receive, trust me, whenever you go, you'll get more back than you give no matter what, when you go. But don't go expecting, you know, to take something from somebody else. Like, I know that's probably like a common sense thing, but Oftentimes we're so excited to go and explore, and it's like an adventure for us. Sometimes we call it religious tourism. Avoid that, please. Right. Another thing to avoid, is, sort of giving into our enthusiasm and giving into the compassion that God's kind of placed in our hearts that kind of drew us to go wherever it is we are in the first place, giving in and thinking that what these people need is the most is the thing that we have the most of, which in the scheme of the world, we have the most money. Like we have the most to give away. And so like, that's how we try to love people. And man, sometimes we give people money and it just blows them up. And it puts them outside of the norms of their culture. It makes it hard for them to relate to the people that live next door because now their house looks different or they live differently. And it can be a really big problem when we do that. And here's the rule of thumb that I always tell people on this. If you're going to invest your time, if you're going to invest money, if you're going to invest your effort for the long haul, you've got to be building a relationship with them. You can't just be writing checks and like, you know, expecting a report once a year via Zoom. Like,
yeah, right.
So when you extend resources to somebody without relationship, it becomes toxic. And I can tell you horror stories, super, super gross, like toxic things that I've witnessed as a result of that dynamic that happens. So avoid this, right? Avoid bringing the suitcase of cash or the suitcase of brightly colored bouncy balls to some place in the jungle where those colors don't even exist, right? Like it just try to love people in a way that they'll actually be able to receive as love. And that's both the thing to uphold and then the opposite of it is the thing to avoid.
All right. Thank you, Bill. That's very wise wisdom, I guess they would say, right? Wise words. I know I've heard about those types of things about like not going out and colonializing communities and things like that. So that's really great firsthand information. Now, like I mentioned before, I've never been on a missions trip or even been, you know, I've been to Canada. That's all I did. I went to Niagara Falls and that's about all that we ever did. You know, there's so much to do in America today. Like there's so many needs right now, especially in the middle of a pandemic. Why is it like, what's the argument to go to still continue to do work abroad?
Well, first it's basically a command, right?
The Bible part. Okay.
Yeah. So like the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So you're empowered to do it. And you're commanded to do it. Like the Great Commission says, take this to all the people groups, right? To baptize all the nations, all the people groups, you know, so it's a command and a commission. And so there's one. So just straight up obedience is kind of a big deal, you know? But beyond that, so I'll try to describe it from my own experience. My first international mission trip was to India. And, you know, I grew up in farm country, Ohio, never really wanted to even leave my county when I grew up. And I ended up, you know, getting on a plane and flying for, you know, traveling for 33 hours to get to this place that, I'd never been. It was so different from my culture, different. And here's the power of this. When you're in a place that you've never been, there's languages that you're not used to, food you're not used to, customs you're not used to, you are like wide open, like your senses are heightened, you are receiving information, you're like able to see and taste and hear things that like you wouldn't be when you're just in your normal comfortable life.
Yeah.
And so in India, I saw so many moves of God every day. That just blew my mind. Like you could not deny that God is still like super powerfully active in the world around us. And I had to go to India to be like shook and woke, you know, I had to get woke to it. Right. And, but then when I came home, I was still woke, you know, I could still see God moving in ways that were powerful. And it actually changed me and kind of empowered me then to be a person that could be a better neighbor, right? I could partner with God. Jesus does this tricky stuff where he says things like, I only do what I see my Father doing.
Yeah.
So when you go somewhere else, there's probably 100 different reasons why you can see and hear God better when you're somewhere else. But once you do and you get a taste of it, like then you can come home and see God moving and partner with him there. You can hear him speaking and repeat what he's saying to people. And I think there's some value in that that's powerful. So look, it's a command, right? The Spirit empowers us to do this. It's definitely the heart of God for the good news of his kingdom to be spread everywhere. Yeah. But also it makes you a better neighbor at home once you go. Sometimes you have to go and see before you can stay and do. Is kind of the rule of thumb that I've kind of hooked into along the way here. So
you've convinced me. You've convinced me. And I think that leads us right in to the next and final question as we begin to land this plane. If somebody wants to like dip their toes into international missions work, like where would somebody start? Where would be a good starting off or jumping off point?
Sure. Well, first of all, not everybody and maybe fewer than some are the kind of people that can get in a plane and fly, you know, to the other side of the planet and get jumped off in this beautiful, but like super otherly culture, like just completely different from your own culture. So what I would say is most people, if you're just dipping your toes in, ought to find something that's a little closer to your own culture, perhaps. Like the food isn't as weird, you know, the customs aren't as weird.
I've been to Ohio a few times. It's definitely way more bizarre.
It's bizarre here. I'm not going to deny it, right? So I would say start small and start simple and, connect in places that are comfortable. If you've never done this and there can be some anxiety related to this, right? So, start simple, start small. Don't plan a month-long trip somewhere. Just go for, 10 days or whatever. I think another rule of thumb is go with somebody or an organization that does this well.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to go homemade commando, on your first one. Because
I got some buddies that are like, let's just go to Guatemala. And I'm like, I don't know if I just want to just jump into that so quickly there. I've never been. Yeah.
I think your instincts are good, right? Because you can inadvertently get yourself into some spots that won't be comfortable and, you won't be able to do the good that you go to do.
Yeah.
And you might do more harm and harm might be done to you. Right. Like,
yeah, right.
It's just a fact. It's just a fact. So find, there's plenty of organizations out there that you can connect with, that have varied interests and varied, emphases, right? If you're a farmer, there's groups you can go and teach people how to farm or actually work in their fields with them and help them cultivate better crops. If you're a businessman, there's tons of things you can go and do in terms of micro enterprises and that kind of stuff. If you like to build, if you like to paint, if you like to work with kids, just find something that connects with who you are, and then connect with that kind of organization or another church that does it well. There's tons of opportunities out there to connect with other people that have experience. Do that first.
Awesome.
Do that first. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Well, hey, Bill, I don't want to take too much more of your time. I really appreciate all the storytelling and all the ways that that we've seen how God has like shaped you as a person and has like internationally and like brought that back here. I love that connection. We can't be a good neighbor if we don't get shook just a little bit.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate all that insight. And from a friend to a friend, from a brother to a brother, I really appreciate you, my friend.
Well, likewise. And there's always a big, big soft spot in my heart for Northgate. And I love you guys. I'm so proud of what you've been doing. in this season in particular, and grateful to see what Jesus is going to do next in your lives and in the world around you. So praying for you guys, and thank you for the opportunity to connect with y'all.
All right. Thanks very much, Bill.
Right on, man.